There's a little verse, a well-known text of Scripture in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13, and it says these words, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I must confess that I'm amazed why that many preachers who say they're preachers never mention this word salvation, never mention being saved. Actual fact, whenever we were reading there in Romans chapter 10, if you read there in verse number 9, it says, "Thou shalt be saved." Verse number 11, or verse number 10, "With the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Verse number 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Paul said, writing to the in the book of Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." In the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, in verse number 31, the Philippian jailer asked the question. He said, "What must I do to be saved?" In the book of John's Gospel, chapter 10, the Lord Jesus said in verse 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse number 17, "For God sent not a son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8, "For by grace are ye saved." Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, "According to his mercy he saved us." And then it's in John's Gospel chapter 5 verse 34, "But these things I say that ye might be saved." Isaiah chapter 45, "Look unto me and be ye saved." Can you understand why I find it strange that preachers never mention this word "been saved"? Well, what then to preach about? My friend, this is the very heart of the gospel, that men and women need to be saved. And so what does God's word say about being saved? I remember way back in 1956, my brother came home to our home, and there were five of us as children. He came into the house and he said, "Mommy, I've got something to tell you." He says, "I got saved tonight." And my friend, God started to work in our family circle. And one after the other, God brought each one to God's salvation until the last one, my dad, came to saving faith in Jesus Christ. I remember coming home from America one year, and my sister rang me up and she said, "Mom wants to speak to you." And my mother said she had a tremendous burden for her own family circle. She had a brother who was not very well and he wasn't saved, and she was concerned about a soul. And she said to me, my sister said, "Mom wants you to go and see Uncle Herbie because he wants to speak to you." I remember going to that home down in Lower Back, that is in Arbow. And when I entered into the house and I sat there for a few moments, my uncle asked me this question. He says, "William, tell me this. How can I be sure of heaven?" My, what a question. How can I be sure of heaven? And thank God I opened God's precious word with him that Sunday afternoon. And I showed him from God's word, God's way of salvation. I didn't tell him what I thought. I told him what God said. And God's way of salvation. And let me tell you, my friend, that's what this book is about. That God has provided in Jesus Christ a Savior from all sin. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." I heard a story once told to me about a young man, a little boy, and an old man. They went out one evening on the boat. They were going down this little river. And as they were going down the river, this old man and this little boy, and they were rowing down there, and the old man looked out, and just this little leaf was just floating past. And the old man reached out his hand, and he took the leaf up, and he looked at it, and he looked at the wee boy, and he said, "Son, tell me this. What do you know about botany?" And the wee boy looked at him, he said, "What do you mean, sir?" He says, "What do you know about botany? You see that leaf there? What do you know about botany?" He says, "Sir, I haven't a clue about botany." "Oh," he says, "son, if you don't know about botany, and if you don't learn, you lose a quarter of your life if you don't know about botany. Well, of course, they were going on down the river, and there was just going on down the river. They looked, and there was tremendous rock formations along the side of the river. And the old man was studying this for a wee while, and then he pointed to the little boy, and he said, "Son, do you see all those rocks? Do you see them there?" He says, "Yes, sir." He said, "Tell me this, son, what do you know? What do you know about geology?" And the wee boy says, "Sir, I haven't a clue what you're talking about." Well, he says, "I want to tell you, son, you don't know about geology. You'll lose a quarter of your life if you don't know about geology." Well, they were traveling on down the river for another wee while. And as they were traveling down the river, they just happened to, well, night came on, and the stars started to come out in the sky. And they didn't realize time had passed so quickly. And you know, the old man was lying back there in the boat, and the wee boy was rowing, and the old man was looking up at the stars, and he says, "Son, do you see those stars?" He says, "Yes, I do, sir." He says, "Tell me this, what do you know about astrology?" He says, "I know nothing at all about astrology." He says, "Son, what'd I tell you? You don't know about astrology. You'll lose a quarter of your life if you don't know about all about astrology." Meant you hadn't much life left after that. But nevertheless, as we were going about, the old man realized the time was late. And so he says, "Listen, would you turn the boat?" He says, "We better get to the shore." And so the wee boy, he was turning the boat. And as he turned the boat, he turned it too quick. And lo and behold, the boat just went over. And my, they were into it, and the old boat was beginning to sink. And the old boy, he was splashing about in the water, and the wee boy was swimming to the shore. And he looked around to see where the old fellow was, and he looked and he backed and he saw him there, and he was splattering about in the water. And the wee boy shouts, "Tell me," says, "sir, do you know anything about swimming?" And the old boy says, "No, I don't." Well, he says, "You've lost all your life." Let me tell you this, my friend. Listen to me carefully. There's a message in this. You can know all about creation. You could know all about civilization. You could know all about education. You could know all about aviation. But if you don't know salvation, then you're lost. And I want you to realize there are things that doesn't matter whether you know about them or whether you don't. But I can tell you, here is something that's found in God's Word. And I tell you, you need to be saved. And I trust that the Spirit of God will write this thought upon your heart tonight about your need of God's salvation. Now, Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says this, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, the first thought is this, is the substance of salvation. The substance of salvation. The most important thing whereby, yes, you shall be saved. The first thought about that substance of salvation, saved business, it's just the must of salvation. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, it says this, "Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men." Listen to me carefully now. "Whereby we must," remember that, "whereby we must be saved." Now that's God's word, friend. "Whereby we must be saved." It isn't a matter of whether, I'm all right as I am. Let me tell you, my friend, there is a must of God's salvation because you must be saved. You say, "Well, saved from what?" I can remember when I got saved, I gave my heart to the Lord way back on the 4th of June, 1957, a wee boy of 8. Now, just don't waste your time about thinking how many years that is, because just I'll put you out of your misery. I'm 68 and my way to 69. So therefore, that gets that out of the road, so you needn't be worrying about it anymore. Listen, my friend, I remember I went into school the next morning after I got saved. I remember there was a lad, Joe, sitting beside me in the desk. We sat together in the desk in Cookston School. And as we sat there, I was so delighted what God had done in my heart. I says, "Joe, I got saved last night. I got saved." And these are the words he says to me. He says, "Why, were you drowning?" Let me tell you, friend, he was as blind as a bat. He didn't know anything about need of salvation. Now, let me tell you, there's people perhaps in this meeting tonight. And my friend, you think that you're all right. You don't need to be saved. You think that you're good enough. You don't need God's salvation. Let me tell you, my friend, you mightn't be like others, as we saw when we were looking at the publican and the Pharisee. I thank thee that not as other men are, But friend, if you are not saved from your sin, then your sin as I stand will stand against you. And in the day when you stand before God, your sins will cry out for the judgment of God Almighty on your soul. You need to be, you must be saved. You need to be saved from the power of sin. You need to be saved from the pollution of your sin. You need to be saved from the penalty of your sin. My, your sin's an awful thing. And your sin will take you to hell. The Bible says your sins have separated between you and your God. You must be saved. Thank God the Philippian jailer realized that. Philippian jailer came out in the darkness there, and the light was brought out, and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Tell me, how can I be saved?" Thank God he realized that he needed God's salvation. I'm asking you tonight, honestly before God, do you see the urgency of that need? Do you realize the most important thing in this meeting tonight is that your soul is saved from sin? That sin that will damn you in hell itself, my friend, if it's not repented of, if it is not brought to the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that sin will put you into a Christless eternity. For Romans 6:23 says, the wages of your sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sinner, do you realize you're in danger? You're in danger of the judgment. You're in danger of hell's fire itself. And let me tell you this, hell's real. Yes, it's another story and another message that's not often preached today, but it's still in the book. It's still in God's Word, and you need to be saved from your sin. You need to be saved from the wrath of God and the judgment of God, and you need to be saved from hell itself. You must be saved. Remember that, friend. Remember that as we start tonight. Listen, here's the must of salvation. But friend, let me tell you, the Word of God tells me in Titus chapter 3, in verse number 5, it tells me about the mercy of salvation. It says, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Thank God for the mercy of salvation. You know, what an awful tragedy. If I was to stand in this pulpit tonight and to tell you that your sin will take you to hell, but there's no answer for your sin. What a tragedy. But I want to tell you, friend, there is an answer for your sin. Thank God your sins, which are many, can be forgiven you. Thank God for the mercy of God. Thank God for the grace of God. You know, there's a mercy of God and the grace of God. I think I told you this already in the nights that are past. There's two different things. The mercy of God is this, that God has not given you what you do deserve. You deserve judgment for your sin. You deserve hell for your sin. But God has not sent you straight there. God has been merciful to you. He hasn't given you what you do deserve. But let me tell you, the grace of God is this. He gives you. He gives you in Christ Jesus what you don't deserve. You don't deserve heaven. You don't deserve pardon. You don't deserve forgiveness. You don't deserve peace with God. But thank God, in Christ there is this. In Jesus Christ there is this. And it's according to his mercy. According to his mercy, he has saved us. Let me ask you tonight before God, have you thrown yourself upon the mercy of God? You remember the old publican, he cried out these words. He says, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And friend, I can tell you, if you're honest before God and say, God, I'm the sinner, and God, I see that your son's a savior. God, be merciful to me and save me from my sin. I want to guarantee you something. On the authority of God's word, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God will be merciful to you. And God will be merciful to you tonight, because there's not only the must of salvation, there is the mercy of salvation. Tell you thirdly, there's the miracle of salvation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away, and praise God, behold, all things become new. The miracle of God's salvation. Think of Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus was riding there on horseback. He was going to persecute the children of God. And friend, let me tell you, God in his mercy stopped him on that Damascus road, and the light shone from heaven. He fell on his face to the ground, and the Savior called out, and he called him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul says, who are you, Lord? Saul was religious, but he didn't know the Lord. But thank God that night, the Lord changed him, or that day the Lord changed him. He became a new creature in Christ Jesus. And let me tell you, here's the miracle. The one that was going to persecute the preachers of the Word of God, thank God now he's a preacher. It's only God can do that. That's the amazing grace of God Almighty. And thank God there are people in this tent tonight. And you have experienced the miracle of God's grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I remember the night the Lord saved my dad. And I remember as a little boy, friend, let me tell you, my dad was a good dad in our home, and I thank God for it. And my dad gave us everything that we needed. He didn't supply our greed, but he supplied our need. I remember whenever, you know, we used to do the potatoes and we used to dig the spuds, and I was standing, and the other folks in the community would come and they would lift the potatoes too. Whenever we'd finish the week of work, my father would sort of stand there and the folks would line up, and he used to open the wallet. And the boy said one time, whenever he opened his wallet, the queen put on her dark glasses because the light of day got upon her face. Well, and he would pay them out, and we would come to the end, and I would sort of come at the end of it all, and I would hold my hand out. And I was wondering, well, where's mine? And my father would say, you not realize you're getting a roof over your head, you're getting a blanket for your bed, you're getting your food on the table, and your clothes for your back. What more do you want? You see, he didn't supply our greed, but he did supply our need. But my friend, let me tell you this. My father, I loved him with all my heart. He's in glory now. But let me tell you, I remember when my dad got drunk. I remember running from him. Remember being afraid. Just whenever my father would get filled with the devil's booze and alcohol, I could still see me standing, holding on to a mother's skirt, just shaking in my shoes. And all my father said to me, son, you're my wee son. And I ran from him, I was afraid. But thank God one night, I remember it was in the month of May, in 1959, the last night of a gospel mission. I remember when the appeal was given, my father went out to the car. And we were heading up to the car. He was the only one that wasn't saved of our family. I remember we're going up to the car, and a cousin of mine stopped my mom and said, Aunt Sadie, could I talk to Uncle Bob? That young teenage girl got into the car beside my father. And she started to talk. And she says, Uncle Bob, it's the last night of a gospel mission. And you're still not saved. Uncle Bob, will you not come to Jesus? And that night, thank God, I remember the door opening of the car and my father walking past us. And they walked down into that old schoolhouse. It was a closed-down schoolhouse. That's where the mission was held. And that night, the late Edmund Sanford pointed him to Jesus Christ. My dad got gloriously and wonderfully saved by the grace of God. Let me tell you, that night I got a new daddy. I really did. I got a new daddy. I never ran from him anymore. Because thank God he became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you, that's the miracle of God's grace. And I want to tell you, my friend, I'm not talking about something that could not happen to you. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, thank God he can do for you. His arms are wide open. He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. Stuart Hamlin wrote the words of that song that we sing, It Is No Secret. Stuart Hamlin was an actor. And then God saved him, changed his life, and he wanted to serve the Lord, and he wanted to reach others for Jesus Christ. One of the persons that Stuart Hamlin knew was John Wayne. And John Wayne, at those times, he was in the films. In actual fact, there was that many bullets were flying about. You never knew who was going to be hit, even though you were sitting there just watching the film. Well, John Wayne, Stuart Hamlin was talking to John Wayne about what the Lord had done for him. And you know, whenever he witnessed to John about the Savior, John says to him, he says, you know, Stuart, he says, that's all right, Stuart, but that's you. It couldn't happen to me. Stuart Hamlin said, listen, let me tell you, John, it is no secret what God can do. For what he's done for me, he can do for you. John Wayne says to him, Stuart, I think there's a hymn there somewhere. And he wrote the words of that hymn, It Is No Secret What God Can Do. Let me tell you, my friend, it is no secret. If you're here tonight, let me tell you, I don't care what your sin is. I don't care how far you've gone. Let me tell you, you may have the scarlet sins upon your life, but I want to tell you this. There's power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, hallelujah, a pardon receives, and you're gloriously and you're wonderfully saved. And you know what he does with your sin? He puts them into the sea of his forgetfulness. never to remember them against you anymore. The devil may try to throw them up, but God sees none. Remember one time I heard about W.P. Nicholson, and I had the privilege of seeing W.P. Nicholson in Portadown, actually. It was in Portadown I saw him preaching. And I remember this little, the little gold-rimmed glasses standing in the pulpit. And I remember it was as if it was last night. He says, you know, the preachers are standing in the pulpit these days. And he says, they're so polite. He says, in actual fact, he says, it's no longer Satan anymore, it's Satan. And he says, it's no longer the devil anymore. Well, he says, I want to tell you this. He says, it's the devil. And then he thumped the pulpit and he says, well, I say the devil's a dirty old pig, and so he is. And I remember that as if it was last night, and that's a way back many, many years, just after I got saved. I think it was 1959 that he was here in Portadown, and I heard him preach the glorious gospel. W.P. Nicholson was in a prayer meeting one night, and a man was praying. And he started to pray, and of course he was laden down with sin in his past. And as he was praying, he was saying, Lord, you remember that rascal I used to be. Lord, you remember those sins that I used to do. You remember those places I used to go. And he went around and started reminiscing about the sins of the past. And Nicholson could take it no more. He says, shut your mouth, you old fool, you. He says, God remembers nothing of the sort. God's put your sins into the sea of his forgetfulness. He says, I will remember them no more. And I want to tell you, it doesn't matter who you are tonight. There's power in the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you from the deepest, darkest, vilest, hellish sin. There's power in the blood. Thank God that's the mercy. The mercy, that's the miracle of salvation. And I don't care where you come from tonight or where you have been. God knows all about you. But I want to tell you, God has provided in his Son a great Savior. And that brings me not only to the must of salvation, not only brings me, friend, not only to the mercy of salvation, it brings me not only to the mercy of salvation, it brings me to the man of salvation. Thank God salvation is in Christ and in Christ alone. It says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Do you remember Peter? Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was walking the water in the night there, and whenever they thought it was a spirit, they were all afraid. And Jesus spoke, realizing their hearts were troubled, and Jesus says, be not afraid, it is I. And whenever Peter heard it was the Lord coming walking the water, Peter says to him, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee in the water. And my friend Peter stepped out. The Lord Jesus says, well, come. And thank God, let me tell you, his commands, his enablement. He did not say to Peter to come to him on the water to mock him. Thank God Jesus meant it. And Jesus says, come. And Peter stepped out of the boat and he started to go to Jesus in the water. And all of a sudden, he took his eyes off Christ. The Bible says he began to sing. And friend, let me tell you this, as he was going down into the water and into the waves of Galilee, immediately Peter lifted his eyes to the Lord and he cried this. He says, Lord, save me. He said, Lord, save me. I perish. No, the Bible says, immediately. Immediately. No, the Lord didn't say, wait till you get a couple of times down and split the water in your mouth and get a couple of mouthfuls of water and you think you're nearly gone. No, it says, and immediately he stretched forth his hand and he caught him. Thank God tonight, let me tell you, the Lord, if you cry to the Lord to save you tonight, thank God he'll answer your prayer. The man of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only one. Let me tell you this, I love the free church, but the free church can't save your soul. I want to tell you, there's no denomination can save your soul. There's no preacher can save your soul. But thank God Jesus can. Jesus saves. I love that hymn. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. It means a lot to me because I never had the privilege of seeing any of my grandparents. They were all gone before I was born. But I used to hear my mom tell me about her parents and about my dad's parents. And you know, I remember mom telling me about her mother and leaving 8 wee children, dying and leaving them behind. Mother told me how that on the night her mother died, and they were all sitting in the little house, a little kitchen. And they were sitting there, down there in Arbo. They were sitting there in that little kitchen house, and mother was dying. And then they heard singing. And they wondered who was singing, and they heard this voice singing, and the father and the little children went quietly down into the hallway and looked into the bedroom. And there they saw a mother lift herself up in the bed before she died, and she was singing these words: "We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Spread the glad news all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Climb the hills and cross the waves onward to our Lord's command. Jesus saves." I've often thought about that, and I say, listen, I never sat on my granny's knee. I've never felt the touch of her hand. But I tell you this, I've done what my granny sang when she was dying. I've climbed the hills of Peru. I've crossed the muddy waters of the Amazon. Let me tell you, my friend, no matter where I've gone, I've told the people the same thing. There is a lovely Savior. And He's a Savior from sin. And His name is Jesus. They'll tell you, I'd love you to meet Him. I'd love you to know Him. I'd love you to come and put your faith and trust in Him, because He's the man of salvation. Not pointing to the church. Not pointing to a sacrament. I'm pointing you to a Savior. And there's only one. His name is Jesus. Tell me, do you know Him? Maybe all you know about Him, listen, you know about Him. You sung the wee hymns. You did it tonight, but you don't know Him personally. You don't know Him personally. Let me tell you, my friend, not only do we have the substance of salvation saved from sin, we have the simplicity of salvation. It says in this text of God's word, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. There's a simplicity of salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yes. That word call, you know what it means? It's a child's cry. Child's cry. I was saying to a lady the other night here, I remember whenever our kids, the five children, were growing up, we used to live in Highfield Road before we were shut out of it, but I used to live in Highfield Road in Macrofelt, and we had a tree in the back garden. And one day, our kids had all got out into the back garden, and unknown to me, I don't know how they did it, but the next thing I heard this awful cry: "Daddy! Daddy! Help!" I thought somebody was killing them. I ran out in the back garden and looked, couldn't see the men who were on the ground, and then I looked up. They said, "We're up here!" And the five of them were up the tree, but they couldn't get down. You know, friends, let me tell you, do you know why they called him Daddy? I'll tell you why. Because they believed that Daddy loved them enough that He would help them. He believed that Daddy was not only able to help them, Daddy was strong enough to lift them down, but listen, Daddy was willing enough to do it. And I tell you, my friend, it says, whosoever shall call. Why do we call? Because Jesus Christ is able to save. Listen to me carefully. The Word of God says He's able to save to the uttermost. And He's able to save to the guttermost. I don't care how far you have gone. Let me tell you, you're not too far. You're not too far from God. Some of you remember Johnny McQuaid. Johnny McQuaid was a member of Parliament for North Belfast. Johnny McQuaid was one of the tightest men that I've ever known in this province. He was one of the most honest and honourable men that I've ever seen, shoes and feet. Johnny McQuaid fought in the war, and he was one of the special forces at the time of the war, but Johnny was not saved. Coming near the end of the journey, and Johnny was still unsaved. And then one day, I used to talk to Johnny and used to tell him about Jesus, and he said, "William," he says, "you know, if you only knew what I had to do for my king and country, what I had to do in special forces, and I had to do it at the time of the war for to save our country." He says, "God couldn't forgive me. God couldn't forgive me." I used to tell Johnny, I said, "Johnny, let me tell you this, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is able to cleanse from all sin. There's not a sin that the blood of Jesus Christ can't cleanse. If it's repented of, if it's confessed and repented of, God's promised to forgive it." But you know, Johnny wouldn't come. And then one day, Sissy, Johnny's wee wife, got cancer. Sissy was dying. Called one of my colleagues, one of my fellow ministers, And he asked him to come to speak to Sissy, because Sissy was going into God's eternity and Sissy wasn't saved. And Johnny didn't want Sissy to go to hell. He wanted his wife to be saved. Thank God my friend went to speak to Sissy, and Sissy gave her heart and life to Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, not only did Sissy get saved, friend, just shortly after, Johnny got saved too. You know what he found out? He found the blood of Jesus Christ was able to cleanse him from his sin. Now I tell you this, my friend, there are sicknesses and there's diseases. If you were to go to the doctor tomorrow morning, he'd have to shake his head and say, "I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do for you." And friend, you would leave his surgery and you realize, "I need help." But that doctor can do nothing for you. Let me tell you, my friend, you have a greater disease than cancer tonight. You have a disease called sin. And that sin will damn you in the lowest hell. And you're going there for all God's eternity. But I want to tell you, I have good news for you tonight. There's somebody can do something about it. There is an answer for your sin. Thank God there is cleansing from your sin. And you say, "Well, listen, how can I be saved?" The Word of God says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Ah, yes. Notice what it says. "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord." It's not the preacher. You say, "Preacher, save me." I can't. Do you know why, friend? Because I couldn't save myself. I couldn't save myself. But thank God I can lead you and introduce you to the one who can. And his name's Jesus. And he's able to save. Thank God he's able to save. To the uttermost. You're not too far gone. You know the devil's a liar. The devil will say the Lord can't do anything for you. You're too deep down in sin. You're too hardened in sin. My, you've heard the gospel so many times that you couldn't come to Christ. Now, he wouldn't want you. Let me tell you, my friend, he's had you here tonight in this meeting. In the sovereign purpose and plan of God. Yes, God wants you. And God's not only willing to save, thank God he's able to save. If you call upon the name of... Now listen to me carefully. "Whosoever shall call..." You remember old Bartimaeus? He was sitting at the side of the road. He was blind. Somebody said to Bartimaeus, he heard all this commotion. And he asked, "What's the commotion all about?" They said, "You know, it's Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." Bartimaeus, in his blindness, he couldn't get to Jesus Christ, and the crowd was all around him, but he started to cry out. He cried out, "Jesus, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." And friend, thank God, Jesus Christ stood still. He stopped the crowd. He stopped himself in the crowd. And he says, "Bring him to me." You know, that crowd tried to silence him, tell him to keep quiet. Jesus wouldn't be interested in you. Has the devil not told you that? Jesus not interested in you. You're too far gone. You're deep down a sinner. Let me tell you, my friend, that's why he came. He did not come to call the righteous. Do you know why? Because there are none righteous. But he came to call sinners to repentance. And thank God tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ is willing and able to save you if you call upon him. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord." You remember the prodigal son? The prodigal son had sinned and went out into the far country and sinned against his father grievously. And then he came home and he says, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm not worthy to be called your son. And he intended to say, "Make me as one of your hired servants." And immediately the father stopped him. He never got to say, "Make me a servant. Make me as one of your hired servants." He'd been willing even to the father to let him into the house at all. And immediately the father stopped him. And the father says, "Get the best robe, put it on him. Get the shoes for his feet. Get the ring for his fingers. Kill the fatted calf. Let's be merry. My son was lost. My son was dead, now he's alive again. My son was lost, but he's found." Let me tell you, he's more willing to answer than you are to call. Whosoever shall call, the substance of salvation be saved. Listen, the simplicity of salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thirdly, the surety of salvation. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be. Not maybe, not perhaps, not a hope so. Thank God, shall be saved. And tonight I can tell you on the authority of God's word, you can know tonight as sure that you're as sure of heaven as if you're there. Let me tell you, I'm as sure of heaven as if I'm there because that's what Christ has promised. And the Bible says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. And there's neither man, woman, demon, or devil can pluck you out of the Savior's hand when you're gloriously saved. Let me tell you, it's not my hold on him that keeps me saved or safe. Thank God it's his hold on me. Thank God I've got an eternal salvation. And I'll never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of his hand. Thank God, an eternal, sure salvation. What did the hymn writer say? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. You trust in his word, friend. You put your faith in his promise. He says in his precious word, he's a faithful God. Listen, Titus 1 verse 2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God who cannot lie. He can't lie. And if you call on the name of the Lord, thank God you shall be saved. It's not might be, not hope so, or maybe. Thank God it shall be saved. You can be dead on certain that your sins are forgiven. Rest your soul upon Christ. Rest your soul upon what Jesus Christ did for you. Upon a life I did not live. Upon a death I did not die. Another's life, another's death. I stake my whole eternity. Thus I rest my soul on Jesus Christ and his finished work upon the cross of Calvary. Thank God, shall be saved. Shall be. And then lastly, notice the scope of salvation. It says, whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, if it had not said, for example, if it had said, if Mary shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Well, what about me? What about poor me? Or if it had said William, well, what about poor brother sitting here, Abernethy? What about him? You haven't a beautiful name like that in yours, have you? Well, let me tell you, friend, but listen, it says, whosoever. Whosoever, whoever you are. Let me tell you, my friend, whoever you are, doesn't matter who you are. You know, people today divide people up in religion and all the rest. And let me tell you, it doesn't matter what background you come from. It doesn't matter where you have been, my friend. Thank God, whoever you are, if you humble yourself before God and you call on Jesus Christ to save you, the Word of God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I'll ask you this question. Tell me you're saved. You see, can you honestly say before God in the light of God's eternity, if God was to take you from this scene of time, preacher, before God, thank God my sins are covered in the blood of Jesus, my soul is saved, I'm ready to meet the Lord, and if I die tonight, thank God it's absent from the body, it's present from the Lord, I don't need a fear because it's well with my soul. Friend, are you saved? In Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20 it says this, the harvest is past and the summer's ended and we're not saved. How many harvest opportunities have you had, friend? How many times have you sat under gospel preaching? How many gospel missions have you sat in? How many sermons have you heard preached concerning your need of God's salvation? And yet, my friend, the harvest of opportunity is quickly passing. This could be the very last time you sat in a gospel meeting. The last time you'll ever hear the call of God. You say the harvest is past. And the summer for me is over. And I'm not saved. Not saved. Let me say this. I've been a preacher for some 50 years now. I've stood in many a situation with many a family circle whenever a loved one has died. But I can tell you this. Thank God I've stood in many homes when the family said, listen, thank God my mommy was saved. Thank God my daddy was saved. Thank God my child was saved. And I know it's well with her soul. Tell me, friend, are you saved? With as I close, some years ago, in the midst of our troubles, there was a young man that I knew very well from our countryside. He joined up the security forces, and then one night he was murdered. I remember going to the home. I knew the family. I remember going to the funeral. I knew his aunt very, very well. It was a Sunday afternoon. The sun was absolutely shining in the heavens. We went to the service in this church, and after the service was over, we're making our way to the funeral, to the graveside. And his aunt came to me, and she grasped me by the hand, and she says, William, tell me, where is he? Where is he? And as I said the other night, friend, let me tell you this, I don't consign people to heaven or hell. That's a decision between you and God. You can be saved, but if you reject Christ, you won't be. I never heard of this young man coming to Christ. I remember him as a young person. I remember him as a baby. I remember him down the years, but I've never heard of him coming to Jesus Christ. His aunt was standing there, and I'll never forget what she said to me. The tears were running down her cheeks, and friend, they were real. She looked into my face, and she was crying those scorching tears, and she said, William, if I thought he was in hell, I'd go mad. Friend, she wasn't play-acting. Her heart was breaking. And I thought to myself as I stood there, I must be honest before God. I saw that her heart was broken, and I sought to comfort her, but I thought this. I wonder how many tears you shed when he was alive. I wonder how many nights did you lie restless and sleepless over his soul when yet there was an opportunity to be saved. Let me tell you, friend, whenever they're passed into God's eternity, there's no return. It's too late. Now's the time to be saved. God's giving you a blessed opportunity in this tent mission tonight to get right with God. You say, I'll come back tomorrow night. Let me tell you this, friend. You may never see tomorrow. Neither may I. That's in the hands of God Almighty. For I don't know what a day may bring forth. You get up in the morning, and you put on your clothes and you put on your shoes, but you never know who'll take them off at the end of any day. Now, I asked you this question before God. Are you saved? I'm not asking you, do you go to church? I'm not asking you, friend, have you read the catechism? I'm not asking you, do you read your Bible? I'm asking you, have you the sweet assurance that your sins are under the blood, that your soul is saved and you're ready for heaven? And if God calls this night, all you've got to do is go. And you leave behind a testimony to your family. Let me tell you, some of you are worried about what you leave behind for your children. Is the bank account big enough to help them through their lives? Friend, let me tell you this. It's not the bank account that will bother whenever you close your eyes in death. It's whether you're ready to go or whether you're not. That's the only thing that'll count. And if you're not saved and you say the harvest is passing and the summer's ending, preacher, and I'm not saved, I beg you in God's name now, run to Jesus. Run to Christ. Thank God. He will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you now. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. And He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Will you come to Him? You say, how do I come? The only way you can. A sinner. Take your place as a sinner. And come to the Savior. Whosoever, that takes you in. Whosoever shall call the simple cry of confession of sin and repentance of sin. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, because He's the only Savior, shall be saved. Will you come? Will you say to God tonight at the end of this meeting, O Lamb of God, I come.